Здравствуйте, дорогие друзья. Начинаем наш воскресный вебинар. Как всегда, в студии вместе с нами доктор Михаил Лайтман,
да,
Михаил Санилевич, Борис Белоцерковский, я Семен Винокур. Тема «Внутреннее созерцание. Формы высшего наслаждения». У нас 22 языка, 30 городов, масса подключений. Вот у нас сегодня Ставрополь, да, впервые подключился к нам, ребята из Ставрополя. То есть у нас все время мы добавляем. Вот. И, пожалуйста, задавайте ваши вопросы. И начнем с отрывка.
Да, мы продолжаем статью из внутреннего созерцания. Первый отрывок у нас назывался «Закон корней и ветвей», а продолжение «Нет ничего в мироздании, чего не существовало бы в бесконечности». Понятия, противоположные в нашем восприятии, находятся в бесконечности в простом единении и единстве. И нет ничего.
Terms that are in complete conflict in our world and are in the end are in total unity. There's nothing in our world. Everything that we feel in our five senses and our brain, there's nothing that doesn't exist in the upper force because everything comes from him. Rav. And from me you want more than this? The thing is that we exist in a field, a vast field.
Абсолютная информация.
Of information that's standing still, not moving. And we're getting small fragments, each of us, according to our Rishimo, we're getting small fragments from there. What operates through us at any given moment awakens some sensitivity, special sensitivity in us. It's like we're scanning this field with our little locator, this Rishimo. And this is how we live, exist, until we scan everything, everything that we need, until these small locators of ours that are called screens will connect together into one big screen, and we will see the whole picture of creation as it exists in itself, not in us, but because we will connect between us, therefore we will have to, along with this, annul our private ego, and then we will see the general picture, great, many panoramic, many facets. It has no border. It is made up of all the worlds, and this is called Ein Sof, and the light is in it. Senka, you said that we're the only unit operating here, and this information is standing still. Rev, yes. In accordance with our efforts to connect between us, we have more options for scanning before us. And in this manner, with our unity, we are uniting in our perception this picture until it becomes absolute. So you mean this is a gradual, natural process? If we wouldn't make efforts, then there wouldn't be any changes, because all the changes are within us. Everything comes out of the upper force. How do Kabbalists attain it? And how can I, a student, begin to feel it? How did the Kabbalists discover it? They discovered it because a few people appeared with increased heightened sensitivity, and that's how it happened. The first person with this heightened sensitivity was Adam, who explained everything he discovered. He explained it in his book, Raziel HaMalach, the angel. An angel is an angel, and Raziel is from the word Raz, secret. That's what he called his book. It's a small brochure, 70 or 80 pages. But according to those times, It was a great publication. I don't know where he printed it, in some printing place, maybe on some clay 5,800 years ago. It certainly wasn't simple, and it was only one copy, but it reached our time. Can you imagine? Every Kabbalistic book was hidden and revealed, was taken, was written, and disappeared. And when was this book discovered? When Midrash Rabbah, the big Midrash, it was between Abraham. Mushi is the expert. So Midrash Rabbah was between Abraham and the Torah, something like before 3,500 years. So this book, 3,500 years, it disappeared and then was revealed. It's a book that explains almost all the forces of nature, but in a very complex way. Almost in code. This is what we see. And in general, the whole method is revealed since, and the whole system exists. So anyone can delve into it and learn it. Moshe. Did the Kabbalists feel that Adam wrote the book? Because scientists said, the scientists today understand less and less of the world that we live in, because the world is becoming more and more revealed, but not in their vessels, not in their human vessels. Everything is being revealed at some higher degree. So the picture is becoming a paradox, because we're revealing from all of reality fragments and parts of attainment. And from that, that's what our scientists are made up of. The issue is that lately, parts of creation are becoming revealed that we can't explain. And the microscope doesn't help? No, nothing helps, because in the last 150 years, Einstein explained it a bit, Friedman, and more. But still, the world that we're living in is not clear. And until Newton, it wasn't clear, but he apparently explained everything. He came and explained everything. But then science began to develop, and everything stopped again. And today we're in a state where, for most of the questions appearing, we don't have an answer, because all these questions that are suddenly revealed to us, these questions are requiring a completely different approach that we don't have. We're not capable of being above time, above space, movement, and in unlimited speed. We can't live in a different matrix than the one we live in. Therefore, science, there's no continuity. So our ability of reception is hard, but the reality itself is opening up. All kinds of black holes are opening up, and dark clouds, and all kinds of Who can explain these things? All things in outer space, the same in micro and in macro. And all this says that our vessels of perception, our tools for attainment, are very limited. And lately, it's really expressing itself in this manner. This is how it's revealing itself. If we will continue in this manner, then we will gradually understand that we exist in a world that is very unclear to us. So science will go bankrupt. No, science gives us what it can. Science is just a part of our options. So tell me, terms that are in conflict in our perception are in unity in Ein Sof at the end of time. Is there an example in nature? Rav, Einstein gives examples from above time, place, that time folds itself when the grandfather meets his grandson. After 100 of years, they meet. Meaning all this... All this exists at the same time, actually, and only relatively and in accordance with our situations, our attainments. It's ranked according to yesterday, today, tomorrow. So we might have dinosaurs going around us and we don't see them. The dinosaurs are going around inside you just like they were before. Everything we see is inside ourselves. So outside of you, it doesn't exist. Everything that we see is just projected by us as if it's outside of us, and that's what we call our world. So our world, we only feel in ourselves. So if they appear again, the dinosaurs, they'll appear in front of me? You just don't tell anyone, Rav says. Michael, I don't understand how a grandson meets his grandfather. What does that mean? All the dead people that died throughout the millions of years, will we meet them? You'll meet them. A question from Berlin. What is Ein Sof, the end of time? What does it mean to exist in Ein Sof? I don't think we need to discuss these subjects. That's an unending conversation that won't even reach the end of time. Let's answer the question. What are these opposites in unity? What is that? I'm sorry, Michael. We grasp everything inside of us. Everything is inside of us. What is outside of me, I don't grasp. I might have all kinds of electrodes connected to me, and I imagine that I'm with you talking in this studio, seeing our special friends on the screens, all the countries, Nikolaev, Kharkov, etc. And before there were lots of friends from lots of countries. So all this, am I imagining it, or does it really exist? I can't say, because I am not capable of feeling anything outside of me. So to say in an objective way that it exists, I'm not capable. I'm always subjective. Always. So let's conclude between us that everything that we are, that we attain, everything that we learn is completely subjective, also in Kabbalah. I never attain the absolute picture. It will only be attained after the end of correction, when we're all connected. Each one connects with his friend in such a way that all these micro-locators connect into one general locator where the desires of our different parts connect to one huge common part, and it is completely connected. And therefore, it grasps the absolute, the eternal white light. And then we're capable of talking about what really exists, because this is the end of correction. Gmar Tikkun. We must attain this state. But in the meantime, we are not attaining it. But we must at least begin to understand from this that our attainment is completely subjective. Moshi, the idea of opposites uniting, it only exists toward us, toward the Creator. There are no problems that exist because His attribute includes everything. When we achieve a situation, that our situation will be completely integral, including all the opposites, what means love thy neighbor as yourself, meaning everything that exists in another, with all the things that repel me, that I see as repelling, everything in him I will accept with love as mine, the most desirable thing. This means that then I will integrate the desires of all the people in the world. And then I will be able to be objective, and all the opposites in me will connect. Can we say that at the same time I will have love and hate? Of course. And none of them will annul the other, or but rather just support the other, that among them precisely I will feel the sharpness. Boris, I wanted to continue with Bala Sulam. He's actually describing to us what we're speaking about. In our concept, we have opposite terms, such as science and sweetness are different things for us. However, in our perception, various concepts are separated or opposed. For instance, the concept of science is different from the concept of sweetness, since for us, science and sweetness are seen as two separate concepts. The concept of acting differs from the concept of action, because the acting and its action have a different meaning for us, and the more so of the concepts of the opposite. Is it possible that when all the locators connect, thanks to our connection, we're not even capable of understanding how limited we are because we're individualistic and egoistic. Each of us grasps a tiny little fragment, in his own tiny fragment, like a small hole in this house of bees. And everyone just grabs their own hole. But with this whole huge integral thing, we can't grasp. So look what's happening with science. We're not capable of advancing. We're capable of mixing up all kinds of things technically. We try to renew things, but there's no breakthrough, no serious breakthrough. We're like, we used to make those missiles 60 years ago. We have the same missiles working according to the same principles, and there's nothing new or revolutionary about them. The same thing in other things, and also in computers. We're just attaining everything that we have with the help of technology that's not getting stronger. We're really standing on the spot because we need a breakthrough to the next stage. But okay, if they listen to the Kabbalists, they'll be capable of this. Senka, a question. How do Kabbalists describe this term, unity? Individuality and unity. When there is integration, also in thoughts and feelings, that's all. What one feels, the other also feels. What the other thinks, the second also thinks. The thoughts and feelings, you can say they can be in conflict with one another, those thoughts. What should we do then? Then, when we desire to unite, they, even though they are in conflict with one another, they annul one another, they become complementary to one another. It's an amazing effect. And it's not just a mutual complementing, completing. When we gather, they multiply each other. It's hard to describe. It's as if they multiply each other. It turns out that we have a great space with no borders. Okay, it has borders. It's made up of 620 parts, but that same 620 parts in me and the 620 parts in you they create this mutual connection that is multifaceted, and then we have this completely new sphere, new space that we grasp. It's like this where the bees live. It's not integral, but it's desiring to be integral. But when we take all our mute connections between us, our feelings and individual thoughts, and when we connect it to a 10, so suddenly the 10 will connect in such a way, suddenly we will have this boom and a ball will appear, meaning all these special individual directions, narrow, will disappear, all these passageways, and everything will become an integral system. Only on account of this addition of the integration of the 10 in one another. Because when we are 10, we are similar to the upper light. And it makes of us a different form altogether, which is already resembling him. And therefore, it becomes a complete sphere, an integral sphere. And if we didn't have this equivalence of form with the upper light, and it wouldn't do such an operation on us, wouldn't accumulate us from all these parts into one integral, we wouldn't be able to attain such a thing. Therefore, the 10 is a special form. How do people who hate one another, that are experiencing hatred, how can one who cancels, annuls himself, will complement each other? Rev, you're right, it's a miracle and it's not clear, but it becomes incredible joy, because at the same time, they feel a burst of energy and feeling and knowledge. And thanks to that, thanks to them overcoming. People, I want to go to our women in Tallinn. Look what a beautiful table they have. Senka, our tables from program to program are becoming fuller. Rav, invite me sometime. Senka. How are the Kabbalists' vessels limited? There's no such thing. When we attain the upper world, only what is beneficial for us and good for us is revealed. Don't be afraid of any limitations, because there are no artificial limitations in Kabbalah. The only thing we have to just keep up with the rules, maintain the rules if we want to get a good result. And it's the 10. We have nothing else. So you can be calm, you can study, you know yourselves. You have people that are studying with us for so many years, and many of you are not new students, not fresh Kabbalist students, but you're veterans. You understand. So even though there are all kinds of hardships and descents and ascents, they're purposely putting us through all kinds of feelings. Sometimes they scare us. Sometimes they make us happy, or they make us feel desperate. It's all in our perception, but nothing can happen that will threaten. They can threaten you. They can try to scare you, disappoint you. But seriously, nothing will happen to a Kabbalist, because all this happens by the upper light, only to widen the Kabbalist perception. So through these hidden things, we can open up to love. Yes, there are people that leave, they get desperate, they leave, they give up, but you can't harm. It's hard for me to describe to myself what is this connection and unity that there's no difference from one to the other. Things that differentiate me from someone else will disappear. What will happen? I don't understand. What is you that is so good? I'm sorry to say this. What is in you that is this individualness that is so good? The best thing is to lose yourself. If I lose myself, I acquire the others. I will exist in everyone. I apparently will melt in them, but at the end of the day, they all melt in me. I, at the end of the day, receive the integral vessel where I feel everything, all of creation. What do I really need to hold on to this limited life that I have right now? There's nothing to be afraid of. People are usually afraid that they'll lose certain values in this world, like family, work, children. A person continues to exist in this world in a normal way, meaning they're afraid to get lost in a spirituality. A person is afraid of his eye. What's going to happen with my eye if I start to connect with others? My eye, the opposite, will only grow more and more, but it will be richer and more integral. I will swallow others. Michael, will we one day be able to explain this? We'll never be able to explain this. That's why we gather every Sunday and we explain it and we have no fruit from it. Because until our people don't attain it themselves, Mushi, I also don't understand anything. There's a feeling that we absorb something, something is being explained to us, that we need to connect to some more complicated organism. It doesn't matter. Gradually, we're all getting closer to it. We're listening, and we're starting feeling all kinds of feelings next to it that fill us. It exists. The webinar today, you already have 20 tweets from today. So write, why aren't you writing what you learned? Boris, there's more questions. We can clearly see that the greatest joy is the upper light. We've heard from you that the Kabbalists of Asyut, is it possible to attain the simple light in concealment, or do they have to be all these descents, ascents, concealments, revelations? It's important to understand correctly what it means that Kabbalists ask to take attainment from them. A Kabbalist doesn't make speculations in his attainments, spiritual attainments. A Kabbalist uses all of this to try to connect more and more parts that are separate and broken from the soul. So at the end of the day, to allow the upper force, the Creator, to be revealed in this gathering of the separate desires. They're separate, but they're trying to connect. To make a long story short, to please the Creator, as we say. So a Kabbalist doesn't just decide to do like this or like this, where to fall and where to get up. He's always looking from the point to give the Creator a greater ability to be revealed. If for this I have to conceal myself somewhere, the Kabbalist will do it without any pain. Only because for him, this is the greatest payment. If everything is subjective, all attainments, is there absolute attainment that's objective and not temporary? That's correct. If all attainment is subjective, is there such a thing as objective attainment that's not temporary? Rav, all spiritual attainment already to a certain extent is subjective because it's built on the gathering of all kinds of different objects gathered together. So therefore, there's already a certain objectiveness in it. This objectiveness is expressed at the level of attainment or the strength of the light at that level, nefesh, ruach, neshama, etc. So spiritual attainments are usually relatively objective, relatively. But complete objectiveness in spirituality is the last stage, the complete correction. Do we know everything about the secret of connection, integration? Why is it so difficult, Rav? The most difficult thing is just the first stage. I promise you, and I'm telling you, we have to put all our energy into this. We have to hang on with our fingernails. We have to push and do whatever necessary, the main thing for it to happen. The next stages will go according to a force of inertia. The main thing is to make efforts. But there you see everything differently. Imagine such a thing. A kid that is going for the first time to school. He doesn't know what school is. He's never seen what it is, never heard of it. They take the child, they bring him to some place. Here, this is your class, this is your table, this is the board, this is the teacher. The kid is there for the first time. He's in some new, completely new state. The next day, it's not like that. He already knows where everything is. He's functional, he's doing things independently. In spirituality, these things are much more revealed. But only his relations with other kids will bring other situations. So another question, why do I have to love others if the others don't really exist? Everything outside of me is just an illusion and it just exists in me. Everything out of you is the creator that's being revealed to you all the time through all kinds of opposite attributes, purposely repelling. On purpose, for precisely that on this scale you will build your vessel, your anti-egoistic, where you can absorb all the information, not just information that's pleasant for you. Imagine for yourself, out of everything that you feel right now, even what you do feel, how much are you grasping? You're automatically filtering everything that you don't like, everything that's not pleasant. You're turning your back to that internally or externally. You just don't want to grasp it. And how much is concealed from us? Because our ego, from the beginning, doesn't want it. So we grasp. We really don't grasp where we are. Increased sensitivity is potentially in each person, but is it different from each person? I don't know what enhanced sensitivity is, but the ability to feel more, everyone has that. And everyone must attain the upper world, and every one of us will attain the upper world. There's no question. The only issue... The question is when. We can do it now. If we sit today and hear these things that Kabbalists reveal to us, it means that each of us, doesn't matter how old we are, our gender, our stage of moral development, intelligence, we each have the ability in this life to attain the upper world. It's interesting. Rabash and Bala Sulam are always writing about this. Don't think that the most talented person will succeed. Don't think this and this. It's always a question that exists. Do we need special talent for this? That's what people think, that it's probably not for me. I also had thoughts like that. Can you tell us about your first spiritual experience? I can't explain it. That's why I don't even try to do it. It's impossible to explain. The only thing I can say is that it comes all of a sudden. Senka. We have a question from the island. If I have only a little bit of time to go into spirituality, what does that mean? The person is asking, he's saying, I only have a little bit of time left in my life to go into spirituality. What should I do? Listen, we should always hurry. It doesn't matter how old you are. You should always hurry. But if you're with us, you have this ability. Just continue and you will enter it. If everything is inside me, why are we always attaining a different picture, Rav? Because inside us, the Rishimot are always changing. All the data is changing. That's why things appear different. How does the connection from the upper root to the lower branch, what is the connection between the root and the branch? The connection, this connection where the upper root operates all the branches from the upper root goes up, and the branches have to do everything in their power to rise up to this upper root, to exist in it. So can we say that all the branches are signs of how to understand the upper root, or is it impossible to understand what the upper root wants from you? A branch is the ability to attain the upper root. I'm looking at a phenomenon in our world. How can I understand from that? No. To be attracted to the upper root, you have to connect with others. Because in the upper root, all the integral attributes are there, and your attributes are individualistic. So to be attractive to the upper root, if you connect to 10, to your 10, then you will attain your upper self. So everything that happens to a person, he can understand the reason. No, only together in the group. If you connect in the group along with everyone, you will understand the reason for what's happening, meaning you'll attain the upper root. Senka, from the branch, he can't understand the reason, but from the root, he can understand the reason. Then he'll understand why it's happening, Rev says. Even if it's individualistic things, there's no such thing as individualistic. It's the 10. There's no less than that. That's what is written. Moshe, I'm trying to understand. Something happens to me and Senka doesn't know about it and he'll never know about it, what situations I'm in. So if I connect with him, will I be able to understand what's happening with me and why it's happening to me? Precisely then you'll understand if you connect not only with him, but with a few more. Boris, maybe we'll advance. There's a more complicated subject. Very interesting. The light is one and only. One says that the upper light is one thing, meaning that everything in it is united to one. And single meaning there are many acts, but it all comes from one force, and it all connects to one force, and one form swallows all the other forms that are revealed. These are very hard terms. We don't understand it now. We don't need to load ourselves up with these things that we can't even approach. The one and the only, the Rambam talks about it in Inner Contemplation in Talmud Esir Sfirot, in my fifth book, like Senka says. So look there how he explains it. One unique and unified. When these three things come together, it has to connect in our feeling, even more so in our desire that we direct, like a radio. When we are tuning the radio, one, unique and unified, and then we start to feel that precisely that is the attribute of the Creator. the correct connection between the three of them, three terms, gives us the attribute of the Creator, not one, not unique and or unified, but rather all of them together. Senka, those questions that are coming right after your answers, they're asking, what are spiritual teeth and spiritual nails that I have to hold at the spiritual degree? You said that. Hang on with your fingernails. Okay, it's a metaphor. There's not really fingernails, and there's not... But what is it? Is it patience? What attributes does a person have to reveal in himself? It will be revealed in him gradually. We can't in advance think about something bad, that we need to acquire some kind of armor to put on a helmet, a spiritual helmet, all kinds of attributes of knightship. There's no such thing. Simply hold on calmly, just the opposite. It's important to try to calm down and just get closer to others, because precisely between us, we can determine these attributes of the Creator. So not being hard, but rather soft. Hard toward yourself, but soft toward the friends. That's how it works out. Is there more advice apart from the 10? To think about something. What a person feels, he feels like this, that he's capable of doing everything except connecting with others. If a person feels like this, this means he's on the path. So he must continue at any price, and then suddenly he will become such a supporter of connection and unity, and he will only think about that. He will not even be capable of imagining for himself how it once repelled him and he wasn't capable of hearing about it, and it made him sick, nauseous. Mushi, look, we have friends that come once a week. Is that connection? They come once a week and they watch a lesson. Rav, that's connection. They come, they get used to it gradually, new feelings and attributes are born, and then I'm sure those friends aren't like they were a few months ago. What do you want? It's gradual. Time has to go by. Every week, something is added, a drop that goes into them, and throughout the week it develops. It gives them new thoughts, new approach, new feeling. Maybe it's still below the degree of feeling, attainment, implementation, recognition, realization, but it still works. Mushi, so I'm asking, throughout the week precisely, after we met for an hour or two, what does it mean to develop this drop? To read, all the time to read. We all have internet, so listen, watch. Mushi, that's unity, that's connection. Rav, we don't need more than that. We don't even need connection, Bintai. Maybe in the meantime, maybe it repels us. If they are some faraway place and feel perhaps some rejection from the unity, so they shouldn't do it, but they should absorb as much material as possible. So what is it, a club, a Sunday club? Rav, if apart from that, in their spare time, they read something, each of them with themselves on their way, have a little booklet that they open of mine, I think that's enough. Michael, but how through this does a person connect? It leads to it. The connection doesn't come from a book or from my explanations. The connection will be formed in them from the influence of the upper light. Doesn't matter how many hours we sit together. Rav, it depends on that, but not to that extent. The issue is if a person is in all those faraway countries, in all places, if you increase even their small desire over this great distance between them, you will already get a huge effect. Another question. What does it mean to rush in spirituality, not miss any, not miss opportunities? Not to miss opportunities to be alert, to get opportunities for implementation. We're going to have a Congress soon in the U.S. Try to free up your time for that, or at least partially from your work. And if the Congress is at nighttime in your country, even better. You can watch the recordings. But you must watch it, participate in it, as if you are there and participating. Don't look at it from the side. Try to look at it as if you're inside, and it will influence you. And I will think about you. Senka, question. What is the spiritual root and reason that there are certain words that are grasped as not nice or rude? Clearly, but what's rude words? Are not nice. If you open medical books, you'll see rude things, unpleasant things. They'll also talk there about all kinds of things that we don't even talk about in our everyday life, of course. Also in the wisdom of Kabbalah. The wisdom of Kabbalah talks about life. Therefore, it talks about everything. Everything in an open way. What is there that we can't talk about? If we're talking about the ibur of the neshama, of the soul, it happens just like our body. A mother and father do a certain act. Something happens between the sperm and the mother's womb, and all this comes from the roots of the upper world that is then revealed in our world. So what should we call those in a different way? No, the wisdom of Kabbalah talks about sexual things, connect, embrace, foreplay, kissing, warming of the sperm, etc. Where do we have all these things from, all these desires for these acts, and why do we do these things? Because they have place in the spiritual world. Therefore, also in our world, we do these things. By the way, all the incorrect acts also come from all kinds of warped spiritual things. That's why there's all kinds of people in our world with attitudes, because all that comes from our roots. Also in us, it's in a certain way. We have to look at it in an open way. We're adults, and we understand that there's nothing unnatural, just the opposite. We've been given the ability and opportunity to bring ourselves to equivalence of form completely with the Creator, to the most corrected and perfect state. So maybe for us, the perfect state and most corrected can appear to us now. If we saw it, it would appear to us as repulsive. What can be more unpleasant and repulsive than loving others more than you love yourself? Senkan, it's, you can't even grasp it. Of course. Mushi, in the ancient times, there were sacrifices, there were lots of misunderstanding. They used to do all kinds of sexual sacrifices and stuff. Yes, in faiths and religions, where did all this come from? because with our egoistic desires, we warped spiritual attributes. So if I understand correctly, Bala Sulam invented or started using the Kabbalistic language of spheres, for example, that you can't turn into corporeal. Yes, it started with the Ari, but still it's impossible. Maybe when we begin to learn Talmud Esil Sfirot, the 8th, 9th, 10th part, then nothing will deter you. But Mushi starts with the language of Kabbalah. If you take even the Psalms, Tehillim, you'll see sex with the Creator. How can you understand such a thing? Okay, we understand that all this is. And here we're actually talking about the Kabbalah language. The attributes, the main attributes in the upper root are expressed in the corporeal branch in a direct or roundabout way. The main attributes in the upper root are revealed in our world to the extent that you can accept it correctly. Everything else is concealed. Mushi, how do Kabbalists convey attainment one to the other, if it's even possible? It's a complex system of collection of the parts of together, where one conveys to the other in a partial way with work from up to upper above. It's just like with scientists or a student and his teacher, that one conveys to the other. Meaning there has to be a synchronizing and there has to be a desire to pass it on to you, and there has to be the correct connection between them. And to the extent of the correct connection between them, the upper light will be passed on to the extent that you can dress it with your returning light. And this is how you receive from the upper one through your returning light. And then you'll be able to do zivug on the light. And then the light will go into you correctly and go into your recognition. The Kabbalists are talking about a world where there's no space. What is there to explain? There are no hands and feet there. What is there? There's nothing. You need to try at least to understand in depth a little more what is a creature that's made up of a desire to be filled. Altogether, our desire to be filled is all of reality. Does it help me to imagine all of humanity as one great desire? It's not one desire. Toward the Creator, yes, but toward us, it's like a broken emulsion separated that has to be connected. It's like a way of life. It's as if you're landing on some planet, on some ball, some planet, and you find like this jelly crawling around, some creature. That's our life here. Senka, so another question. How does an internal force, complete force, how can it be felt by not, as not good, bad by myself? How does it not change? How can it be grasped as me by something different and negative? In different feelings, in different attributes, I get the same upper force in accordance with the Rishimot that I exist in. So when we're talking about the names of the Creator, I give the Creator names. There's not a separate name. It's just absolute upper light. And the vessel that receives it, that shapes itself in a certain way, precisely because of the way it shapes itself with its 10 spheres, 10 attributes, gives the upper light names. So Tov Metiv, it's all from the vessel, yes. So everything that I feel in my will to receive in my vessel, I give it a name according to your feeling. You give a name. And will you and I give it the same name? Yes. It doesn't matter that we call it the same name. When you call it in yourself and when I call it in myself, it's different things. But we feel it different, like sweetness in our world, like a glass of water. How do you taste it and how I taste it? It's two different things. So we can understand. It's the same with the Creator. But we concluded here about the glass of water. We concluded about the spiritual world also. We have tons of questions. Let's do a blitz. Can the Creator make a mistake? There are no acts for him to make a mistake with. What is the spiritual root of being rude? The ego. A desire to try to rise above at any price and to put someone else down. Hardness toward yourself gives birth to softness towards others. That's what you just said. When? Oh, I said that? So write it to me. I'll post it. Is it true that softness toward myself gives birth to hardness to others? Yes, that's also true. The root of the branch is closeness between a man and a woman, and the upper root is closeness between the creature and the creator. How is it between a man and wife? Can you describe the upper zivug? No. Precisely from attaining the creator, you will succeed somehow, perhaps. It's very difficult to project it on your family. You will be able to advance toward the creator if you have between you the correct and suitable acts. But to look for it between you is recommended, but it's very difficult. Don't get confused. Is it possible that if people will connect, they'll be completely the same physiologically? Husband and wife start to look like each other. I can't tell you because I haven't seen it. It's hard to say how much people who have integrated and come together, not to mention a man and wife, that they will act in spirituality in the same acts, how much they will look alike. They will complement one another, that yes. But look like each other, I'm not sure. Because complementing, completing one another is actually from being different to one another. The greatest form of joy in our world is like the connection between a man and woman. Is it the key to correction? No. What's with you today and the questions about attaining spirituality between the right connection, zivuk, between a man and a woman? What is that? It can help you if you do it correctly, but it's better if you don't get carried away with this direction. Just act normal in this world, and not more than that. It can confuse you and distract your attention to other things. All kinds of natural things will happen because you're not corrected yet. You'll start to fight. You'll put it into spirituality. It's not good. Can a Kabbalist take revenge on someone that broke his heart? I don't think that a Kabbalist can think that anyone's breaking his heart. It's not possible. And especially take revenge. It's the Creator that was doing it to him. The Creator runs everything. Mushi, there's no desire to revenge against the Creator? Rav, there is, of course, to take revenge on the Creator, everyone, and it happens to everyone at some point. Someone in Minsk wants to ask a question. He has a red mic. Is that true? It's our friend Ruslan. He's not reacting for some reason. Can we ask questions? Next time we'll try. Okay, so last question. What does it mean, a qualitative soul? A qualitative soul that's getting as close as possible to the Creator. Qualitative means the attribute of love and bestowal. There's nothing more. I want to add. People, I'm asking you, think in advance what you are doing during the U.S. Congress so that you'll at least have the ability to take part in a lesson, one or two, three lessons, and then you can watch the recordings. I'll be with you. It's from the 3rd to the 6th of May. And now in April, we have a Mac online course, the 12th of April. Apart from that, we have a 7-day course on the Zohar. And lectures. Rav, we'll also meet next week. I wish you all the best. I'm happy to see you on the screens in Sochi and all the other places, Vilnius, etc., Chelyabinsk, Stavropol for the first time, Nikolaev. Friends, thank you very much. I embrace all of you. Good luck, good health. You should be happy together and upward.